A very good morning to you as we gather again for worship. As we light the peace candle, so we're reminded that Christ is present wherever we are and in whatever we're doing. So even as we gather in our homes, we can be assured that Christ is with us, for he is the light of the world. We sing together a song entitled, His Strength is Perfect.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that he holds. When we truly see how deep our weakness goes, his strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on.
so we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Indeed, God, we proclaim that your strength is perfect, that it is your strength that carries us through life, that it is because of your strength that we have an anchor on which we can hold, that it is through your strength and your power, Lord, that you raise us above our struggles. It is in your strength, Lord, that you provide for us and provide all our needs. And so as we gather for worship this morning, Lord, we come acknowledging you for the God that you are our Saviour, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you are Jehovah Jireh, our Provider, you are our Saviour. And so, Lord, it is our prayer that as we gather together for worship, you would make your presence felt in our homes or wherever we might be. And as we feel your presence, Lord, that we would acknowledge that you are with us as we worship together. And so as community, as separated as we are, we share together, Lord, in the prayer that you have taught us, as we say together,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The first reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Salt and light. You are like salt for the whole human race. But if salt loses its saltiness, there is no way to make it salty again. It has become worthless, so it is thrown out and people trample on it. You are like light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, it is put on the lampstand, where it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before people, so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Jesus appears to his disciples. The 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, even though some of them doubted. Jesus drew near and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always, to the end of the age. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As an introduction to our sermon this morning, I would invite you to listen to this next song. If you'd like to sing along, you're welcome. But do ask that you pay special attention to the words of the song.
Him again. He doesn't need a judge, he needs a friend. buys and sells. But her thirsty heart is searching for a love that will be true. The Savior cries for her to see himself in me and you. Who will be Jesus to her?
His name was Justin. He had wild hair, he wears a t-shirt with holes in it, jeans, and slops. This was literally his wardrobe for the entire 4 years while he was at university. He was a brilliant student, a little esoteric, but very, very bright. And while at university, he became a Christian. Across the street from where he lived, there was a well-dressed, very conservative church. That church had been trying to develop a ministry to the students, but had struggled in their endeavors and didn't quite know how to get it going. One day, Justin decided that he would attend worship there. And as he walks into church with his slops, his jeans, his holy t-shirt, and his wild hair, the service had already begun. And so Justin starts walking down the aisle looking for a place to sit. The church was full that day, and he couldn't find a seat. By now, the people are looking a little uncomfortable at what's happening, but no one says anything. Justin gets closer and closer to the front, closer and closer to the pulpit. And when he realizes that there's no place for him to sit, he simply squats down and sits on the carpet in front of the pulpit. Although this is perfectly acceptable behavior in a university setting, this has never happened in this church before. By now, the people are a little uptight. The tension in the air is very thick. And about this time, the minister realizes that from way at the back of the church, an elderly steward is slowly making his way towards Justin. Now the steward is in his 80s. He has silver grey hair. He walks with a cane. He's a godly man, very elegantly dressed, very dignified, very courtly. As he walks with his cane, the only sound that can be heard is the cane clicking on the floor as he makes his way towards the young man. Everyone is saying to themselves, or at least thinking to themselves, you can't blame him for what he's about to do. How can you expect a man of his age and his background to understand a university student sitting on the floor? He takes a long time, but eventually he reaches Justin in the front. The church is utterly silent, waiting to see what the elderly steward is going to do. The eyes are focused on him. You can't even hear people breathing. The minister can't preach the sermon, not until the steward does what he has to do. The steward reaches Justin And as the elderly man does so, he drops his cane on the floor. With great difficulty, he lowers himself to sit next to Justin so that there he can worship and Justin need not worship alone. Everyone chokes up with emotion. When the minister finally gains control, he says, "What I'm about to preach, you will never remember. What you've just seen, you will never forget." We must be careful how we live. You may be the only Bible some people will ever read. We must be careful how we live, because we might be the only Bible some people will ever read. We need to translate God's word into our lives. We need to be living Bibles. Our relationships with Jesus need to be so practically lived out that when we live our lives, people begin to see Jesus at work. If we cannot practically live out our faith, then something is missing. If we can't take what the Bible says and apply that into daily life, then we're losing out on the dynamic of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. God can and needs to transform us, transform our lives, our living, so that we can live in the world, so that we can be what God wants us to be, so that we can be witnesses in both word and action in the world in which we live. There's a very good question that churches should ask themselves, and that is, if this church were to disappear, would the immediate community miss it? I guess some communities wouldn't even notice. But in light of COVID and lockdown and all that we've been through these past 2 years, in a sense, we've been asking that question. Because the church is not the building on the street corner where we gather for worship. The church is the people. And the church is wherever we are. So as we sit in our homes, as we watch this video, that is the church. When we share with others in a social event and we are Christians, that is the church. Many churches in the buildings are fairly good at doing the inner stuff, doing the Bible studies, the socials, the youth work, the services, all very important stuff. But what about the stuff that reaches out? What about the way that those people live 24/7? What about the way those people live and behave at work in a context that is not surrounded by a church building? What effect does the church, the people, what effect do you have on non-Christians, on your neighborhood, on your immediate surrounding community? What effect do you have on people who do not worship in our church? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." May people see through our words and our actions the glory of God. We need to be living out our faith in very practical ways. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Go then to people everywhere and make them my disciples. The best witness is the practical living out of our faith. The challenge is deep and it is close to home. There's no wriggling out of this. If we're going to proclaim to be Christians and followers of Jesus, then we need to personally ask ourselves these three questions. And the only way we can really answer them is when we translate God's word into our lives in practical ways. Here are the three questions. Am I being Jesus to others? Do people see Jesus in me? Am I being a living Bible? Let us pray. Lord, as we hear the challenge, this affects every area of our lives. We are called to be living Bibles. We are called to be Jesus to others, in our words and in our actions. We pray, Lord, you would fill us with your Spirit. Help us to practically translate Scripture into our everyday living, in the way we do things, the way we respond to people, the way we go about our tasks, our work, the way we enjoy our pleasure time, our social time. May we be living Bibles so others may see you and give glory to God. We pray, Lord, you would fill us with your Spirit. Help us to do that. Lead us, guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our concluding hymn reminds us of that. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. We sing together. Thank you for joining us in worship together this morning. Receive this blessing as we go our separate ways. We pray. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we say and do. God bless. Amen.